We're going to spend a little time today looking at healing in God's Word. That God wants us to be healthy. And we're going to start in 3 John 2, a very familiar verse of Scripture. It's just as true today as the first time it was spoken and written down. As you know, sickness has been around since Adam and Eve were ejected out of the Garden of Eden. There was no sickness, as we know from the scriptures, in the Garden of Eden. But once they left, because of one of the consequences of disobedience is they received sin in their blood. Their blood was tainted, and that sin started to break down the body, and sickness came into got kind of nibbled on mankind and has been around ever since. Sickness has been around ever since. And I got no proof, but I don't think there's ever been a time on this earth since the Garden of Eden where all people that are living on earth are healthy at the same time. I can't imagine that ever happening, just in light of what history shows, that somebody's bound to be sick, and usually more than one person. You know, if you look at history, the Black Plague killed millions and millions. Just so many people through the years have been plagued by sickness, and it's been a malaise to mankind ever since the Garden of Eden. But the good news is that God wants us healthy. No matter what the world has to offer, no matter how the circumstances come about that a person gets sick or gets a disease or dies, God wants us to be healthy. In our area, I mean, there's a lot of sickness that's gone around, me included. I put my hat in the ring. But I usually am healed in hours. If I get something nibbling at me, I'm healed in hours. This is unusual for me. So the key to getting healed is believing what God's Word says. And the way to do that is continue to keep putting it on in our brains. And I thought it'd be great to just look at the truths again in God, some of them, concerning healing. So in 3 John 2, I'm sure all of you could quote it, but it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." It's absolutely God's will that we are healthy. He is always pro-health. He's not pro-sickness. He's always after us getting healthy and staying healthy. One misnomer, as you probably all remember, is that a lot of Christians will think that God makes us sick, makes a Christian sick, makes people sick, strikes them down, and almost uses sickness to keep a person humble, almost like a cat playing with a mouse. You know, I'm just going to tease you and bounce you around and this and that until you behave. But it's a misnomer. It's not accurate. The biggest problem is not understanding the Old Testament. That it's written in an Eastern culture with Eastern vocabulary and Eastern sayings. And in the East, in the days and times of the Old Testament, they attributed everything to God. So if something bad happened, it was God's doing. If something good happened, it was God's doing. But there is a very clear delineation in God's Word that God is not the author of sickness. He's not the promoter of sickness. He's not interested in people getting sick. But he does warn people that it's out there. He warns people of how to stay away from it. Some people do, and some people don't. So, but we're not going to look at that per se. But we are going to go to Hebrews and see who is the author of death. And death is sickness. I mean, sickness is death in part. Death is just the end result of sickness in due time. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, great truth here. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself," referring to Jesus Christ, "likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. But, I mean, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It's very clear here that the devil is the author of death, the initiator of death, not God Almighty. He's the one that brings about death, and the devil's also the one that brings about sickness in one form or another. So if you are sick, doesn't mean you had a wrestling match with the devil and he threw some sickness on you. I mean, it comes all different ways. We're not going to get involved with that. But he is ultimately the reason for sickness. Let's go to Psalm 103. So we don't want to blame God in our heart for being sick. Not going to help us. God is for health, for good health. Just going to look at a couple records here about how God is pro-health. 103 verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He's the healer, not the promoter and giver of diseases. While we're in the neighborhood, Psalm 107. Again, a verse of scripture we most of us probably know by heart and repeat it. Psalm 107, verse 20. He, referring to God, sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God's the one that healed them. He sent his word, he healed them. It's just wonderful to have an understanding of that and to keep placing it into our thinking. 1 Peter chapter 2. I started looking at healing again, and I looked at some the class I did in our fellowship a few years back, Manifesting God's Power. We went over the all nine manifestations, and the section on healing, there's just a lot in there. I was almost amazed myself. That was pretty good. But there are so many truths that we have heard and do understand concerning how God heals, why God heals, what the need is, and just a lot of information in there. And I did a thing on being miracle-minded, that miracles don't happen just on their own. Our mindsets have to be there. If we're going to get involved with working some miracles, our mind has to, we have to be miracle-minded, and the same thing with healing. We have to have a mindset that we want healing, that it's available, and apply what God's word says to get healed. Just a lot in it, but it's a great review to go over those things if you want something that's dealing with healing in the scriptures. Not that I'm promoting it, but it's just a lot of great stuff. It's truth. It's wonderful things. 1 Peter 2:24. This is a scripture that it's so big. I don't know how to explain how big it is, but it says so much, and it's just a few words. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, again referring to Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The beatings that Jesus Christ went through were for our healing. He took the sickness. He bore, it says in another scripture, he bore our sicknesses. He's the one that carried them for us, so that we don't have to have them. I mean, it's just the reality of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ is just incredible. And it's a present reality. It happened a couple thousand years ago, but the reality of its truth and the application is present reality. It's not something that, boy, those believers in the first century had it made. You know, it was just fresh right then, and it just happened. It was full strength. Here we are 2,000 years later, and it's a little weaker type of thing. You know, it's a present reality. Time does not change the realities of God's Word. Jesus Christ, it says, by His stripes we were healed. And that's the truth. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. It's a past accomplishment, but it's a present reality. Acts chapter 10. I always thought this was a great verse to show people who really thought that God makes people sick. Because we also know that Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. So this scripture would make absolutely no sense if God made people sick. Chapter 10, verse 38. Again, a very familiar verse of scripture. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of God, all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So if God's the one making people sick, and then his silly little son's going around healing everybody, you would think that there's a conflict of interest. God screws somebody up with some sickness, Jesus walks around and heals them. God screws up somebody else with some sickness, Jesus comes around and heals them. But that's not, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But if you know that it's the devil that causes it, we see, you know, it says, for God was with him. Jesus Christ healed, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Just a great scripture. And that includes our own healing. Jesus Christ is still alive. We go to God for healing in the name of Jesus Christ. So I thought it'd be fun just to look at some of these scriptures of healing. I just picked the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and I thought it would be nice just to read some of these scriptures in Mark. We can never put these things in our head too deeply. So I picked out 10 sections. So I'd like to have 10 volunteers to read each the little different sections. So if you're interested, raise your hand. I'm just going to walk around until I run out of paper. Okay, and we're going to go in. The number on there is the number of reading. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Susie.
Thanks, Wesley.
You're welcome. And when you read, you got to read loudly. Loud enough that we can all hear. So, I just thought it'd be enjoyable just to spend some time just looking at these scriptures. So, the first one's Mark chapter 1, verse 2. That's John.
Verse 21.
Hmm?
I got here verse 21.
You got verse 21?
This is Mark 1, 21.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It's actually verse 2 through 34.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, let's see what verse 2 looks like.
yeah, it's probably 21.
Yeah, it's 21 for sure. My error.
You're allowed. You want me to start reading?
Yep.
Okay.
And then the next person just follow. Once the first person stops, you know they're definitely done. Then the next person can go right ahead.
Okay, Mark 1:21. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, leave us alone. What do we have to do with you, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know you who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And then skipping down to verse 39, it says, And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed.
That's it. Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned, that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in on this fashion.
Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other.
Chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, He cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us unto the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There they were about 2,000, and were choked by the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was, what was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he had been possessed with the devil. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee, and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel.
Mark 5:21-43. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth in a point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make thee this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightway that no man should know it, and commanded her that something should be given her to eat.
Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And he went out from thence, and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jose and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about the villages teaching.
Mark 6, 12 and 13. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And verse 53. And when they had passed over and came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore, and when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region around about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch if it were the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole.
Mark 7, 24 to 37. And from hence he rose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and he would have no man know it, but he could not hide it. He could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. Psychobination, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was coming to her house, she found the devil was gone, the devil gone out, and her daughter lay on the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseeched him to put his hands upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and a string of his tongue was loosened, and he spoke plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He had done all these things, he maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak.
Mark 8:22-25. And he came to Bethesda, and they bring him a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spat on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw out. And looking up, he said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, made him look up, and he was restored, and saw every man clearly.
Mark 9:17, and go to 27. And one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whosoever he taketh him, withteareth him, and he foameth and garnish with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples that should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And he brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit teareth him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since I came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes I have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thy my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose.
Great. Just wonderful records, you know, God's deliverance to people. And I'm sure you probably saw it in there. There is a common thread, and that is believing. That record that Rich just read, you know, that we need to believe the promise of God concerning healing. God won't force healing on us. As weird as it may sound, there are people who think, no, I don't and shouldn't get healed because God wants me like this, and so I'm not going to go to God for healing. I'm just going to wait until he changes circumstances, whatever. But it is, you know, healing, believing is involved. It doesn't mean believing has to be difficult. It's just that it is involved. Like that record that he wasn't able to do many mighty works in his own hometown. He goes everywhere else and he cleans his clock, everybody cleans his house. He gets to his own hometown and there's just a couple sick folk. And the difference was believing. So, and what builds believing is the Word of God. We keep putting that Word of God in our brain and we just stick to it. We don't get healed for 30 years. It's still God's work. Or we get healed in 30 seconds. That's a long time, too. You gotta wait 30 seconds. It seemed like eternity. So, but it's just great. It's great to know we got a God that loves us. He wants us healthy. And it is available. And so, that's that.